Welcome to episode 360 of the 8-Bit Geek. We've come full circle. Eh? 360?
Are we in a red ring?
No, we're not. If this is your first time listening, let me try to explain what the show is about. It's a lot like playing Division 2 with two of your closest friends. And getting to the DLC and where every single boss fight pisses you off. And it's just not fair. It's not like a game where you're enjoying your time and having fun doing it. And you're like, oh, this is challenging. No, it's more like, oh, okay. They would like to punish us. Cool. 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 And then redoing the final boss fight 40 times. To the point of almost having three grown-ass men throw their keyboards and mice at the monitors. And that's what this show is like. I'm Jeremy. And with me are two men who went through that experience with me.
I'm Doug.
Oh, I'm Kevin. I'm a survivor.
God. You know what's funny is that we got done with one Ubisoft game and we're about to jump into another.
Yeah, like, yeah, that wasn't punishment enough. Let's do it again.
Yeah,
we'll see. As I said, I'll give it a try. Because, I mean, we tried to play the first Ghost Recon, and
we had a great time.
It was this game, Kev.
No,
it wasn't. It was the
this
first
was the one.
One
before that. They had was Ghost. It was Ghost Recon Ghost, Wildlands.
Yeah, Wildlands.
Is that not what we're playing?
Mm-mm. We're playing Breakpoint. You installed the wrong one, game, didn't you?
Did.
Yeah, it's Breakpoint is what you're supposed to.
Because I went to the Uplay Plus store and it was right there on the front page, right at the top, big old like.
Well,
Ghost
maybe.
Wild. Wait, did I?
No,
on.
Maybe it's no. I think you did Breakpoint.
Oh, sorry. When was I put the notes right in front of the screen?
Oh, spoiler alert!
That well then that's if hold on, I got Breakpoint.
Okay, okay. And you did do. Everybody did the Uplay Plus, right? So that way we all have the okay, because they have that trial one, and I was like, garbage. No, Uplay Plus.
Yeah, dude.
So yeah, it should be fun.
Now I gotta find stuff. I gotta fix my tweets for later. I have programmed and ready.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is this the one with what's the Punisher?
It has the one with the Punisher, and then also they just released DLC to where you get to do a whole mission set with the Terminator.
Like, okay, I'm on board.
The T-800s are like roaming the island and you have to take them out and stuff. It's real wild.
Things will happen. Yeah, you know, it's like Jurassic World.
Uh-huh. And then Sam Fisher DLC has been introduced as well. So it's okay. Crazy. It's
really?
Like it's like Jurassic Park, but for cool icons. It'll be a lot of fun, I hope. And they just did a whole bunch of updates and stuff to where you can customize the game to your liking. I launched it before the show, and I mean, I kept everything, I guess, the way that it shipped, like normal difficulty and normal HUD. And I guess you can change it mid-game, but I was like, we'll see. Yeah. Anyways, anyhoozles, if you like what we're talking about and if you're intrigued by us three handsome gentlemen, you can always check out our website at www.the8bitgeek.com. It has a whole bunch of information there about us. You can learn about the hosts. You can learn about the other shows that we produce and a whole lot more, like links to our Discord, where you can chat and hang out and meet some new people, play some games with them, and a whole bunch more. You can also check out our Patreon, and we do a pre-show for the 8-Bit Geek. We do a post-show. And then we also do daily shows, which are a lot of fun to do. And for as little as $5 a month, you can join in on that. You can have some fun and listen to our daily lives. And we do, you know, one of my favorite parts of the diner is doing the top five Tuesdays, where you kind of get to dissect what you're into for your, you know, throughout your whole life. And it makes you think about your youth and stuff. Like, we've done our favorite ice creams, and it makes you think, like, oh man, what could I rank as the favorites? This week we're doing top five games that you should play while in quarantine. So we have it all themed around coronavirus. So it should be, it's a lot of fun. I think that you guys would really enjoy it. And if you're looking for something to listen to, if you've gone through all your podcasts and you're like, man, I just need more, well, we'll give it to you just for $5 a month. We'll give you a whole bunch of cool stuff in there. So please join it. It'll help us help you even more. So with that, we have a segment to start this show off with, and it's called Amazon Adventures, brought to you by Amazon, not a sponsor. And it's a pretty cool segment. We like to read strange, funny, and weird Amazon reviews, and sometimes you get them in funny voices. But Doug, what do you got for us this week? Kick things off.
This week, I have a review for toilet paper.
Ooh, hard to come by, a good commodity.
Mm-hmm. This is tiny. It says it's 4 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
So they must have not got that Charmin brand, that tough and soft, or whatever the fuck it's called. I almost said thick and soft, and I was like, no, that's dirty.
And you still said it.
Weird about that Charmin bear.
Well, apparently, hold on. Apparently, they did get Charmin. I should have read farther. Okay, it says 4 out of 5 stars. It's a verified purchase. It does way more than wipe poop off your butt.
Ooh, tell me more.
We all know Charmin is the Bentley of poop removal.
True.
One of the problems with super plush and ultra strong fecal residue elimination is that there are fewer sheets per roll than your 70 grit garbage you have at work.
True again.
So I was stoked to see they now have a 5X roll.
Oh, God.
Only problem? We have one of those in-wall toilet paper dispensers, and such means putting down the phone. Wait, is it right? Did I read that right?
No. I think you skipped a line.
And such a large roll makes it impossible to actually, you know, roll.
Yeah.
You have to two-hand squeeze and turn that bad boy, which means putting down the phone and interrupting your Candy Crush streak. Or you can take it out, but you may have a wife that insists that toilet paper must go in the proper dispenser, no matter how useless it is for ginormous rolls of pillowy derriere cleaning paper. This, of course, leads to a huge conflict, and before you know it, you are sleeping in one of your kids' beds, which, hey, isn't too bad, because they normally spend half the night in your bed until one of you wakes up smelling their spiked diaper.
Spiked diaper.
Kind of think about it. If they only knew how strong and soft these wipes were, they would be begging to be potty trained. And of course, then it wouldn't be my fault that the toilet paper is off the holder. I could get my bed back and the kids could be potty trained and sleep in his own bed. One can dream, I suppose. And if push comes to shove, a few yards of this stuff could work as a nice pillow top.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, I have a question for both of you.
Go on.
How does a roll of toilet paper have to be installed? Toilet paper up and over? Or yes. Under?
Up and over.
Up and over.
Okay, good. I was about to say we needed to find new hosts.
I don't know who does under, because you're a monster if you do under.
Right?
Okay, so it's weird because, like, there's somebody at our work, well, when I went to work, in the men's stalls would have it, like, they would do with the under. And so in defiance, I would put one over. So you get a best of both worlds situation. But yeah, it was like, I don't know who I'm fucking fighting against that's flipping the toilet paper. But yeah, it's so weird. It's a weird, useless battle.
Before we go on, we got a shout out to Polish Merc.
Yeah.
Says, been listening to you guys for a year now. First live show I get to watch. I'm first shifter. Only good thing about the stay-at-home order. And then subscribe to Twitch Prime. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hell yeah, Polish Mark. Polish Mark. Thank you so much. You're the best.
The best.
All right. Best.
Mine is for a journal. And it says, 5-star, a dream diary for losers. Verified purchase. This works great as a dream diary for people with lame goals. I previously bought an expensive leather-bound journal to capture my hopes and dreams. However, the content of my writing was so poor, the hand-pressed leather felt unimpressed. So I got the low-rent composition notebook. Now when I write a goal like wake up before noon or eat less cheese whiz, it feels more authentic.
That's good.
It's a judgy-ass fucking notebook.
That is, really.
Kev, what do you got?
Well, boys, I've got a 3D printer, everybody. And also, my name is Justin in this review. But I give it a 5-star verified purchase.
Nice.
Now, this thing can print anything, winky face. I was able to print a new container for my fleshlight. God damn it.
I love that. Kev. I love that Kev never reads ahead. Never.
I didn't read ahead either, but the second he said can read any can print anything winky face, I was like, this is gonna go downhill very quickly.
And I realized it as I was winking. Now, I was able to print a new container for my fleshlight, as I was saying. This thing's great. Now the BL touch leveling really makes a difference for us guys who suck at leveling that print bed.
What is a print bed?
Like my zebra print bed, man. That's what gets.
Oh, I guess it's the actual the bed print, that you print on.
The literal print bed, yeah, where it prints on.
I thought it was for something for the fleshlight.
I was thinking tiger bed. Whatever. So I had it set up and running within an hour of opening the box. I will defiantly be printing. I'm assuming that was definitely, but I am definitely. Be printing out more tubes for my fleshlight to enhance the feeling. Big old smiley face, including with an exclamation point. That means I'm probably erect while I smile like this. 4 people found this helpful. Thank you, Justin. That's what the picture is. It's the exclamation point. It's the wiener. Kicking balls there. So if you ever see that icon, you know what's up.
It's a and then the yeah, what is the chat. Is the little colon your butthole? What's going on?
There oh, that's the go. Balls.
Oh, it doesn't do balls. It. Stupid. It just looks like I'm a happy face. Well, I still you can translate that to boner, whatever. Oh. Happy boner.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
Well, we don't have any movie rankings because well, the box office has frozen all sales because there isn't any, so nothing to report there. So I guess we could just jump into the news.
You know what that means?
What?
That means that basically Avatar cannot be re-released in the theater, so we're good.
Yeah, they were planning that like 10-year re-release.
Oh, Avengers lasts even longer.
What if somebody was listening to Doug this whole time and that's who released the virus, just so that way Avatar could be beaten?
Damn. High sacrifice, low payoff?
Uh-huh. We will infect the world so Avatar can't.
Man. There's cleaner ways sense. To do it.
All right.
Math checks out.
The math checks out. So there are major Hollywood studios that have agreed to give 2 weeks pay to below the line workers who lost their jobs. They just signed, and you know, I think we talked a little bit about that last week. Well, this week it just came in today that the movie in the theater industry has come together. They've band together and they've raised $2.5 million in funds. And by raise, I mean they use their own money to pay their employees as well. So it's nice to see that Hollywood is taking care of itself. Even though, you know, I think they'll get a small percentage of the stimulus check that
probably
the $2 trillion.
The $500 billion that's allotted to businesses.
Yeah, and hope I don't know how much will go to the movie industry and how much will go to theaters, but
it's
I hope
a huge industry, especially an export in for America. So mm-hmm. Probably a good amount.
I would hope so.
Yeah,
I would hope so. But that it's good to see that that some people are getting taken care of, because reported last week there's 120,000 people out of work. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot. I mean, yeah. I know that there's a lot more across the world, but we're just reporting on the movie business. So
yeah.
I don't want to sound heartless, like, oh, you didn't get paid this week. But because you didn't get paid. Anyways, before I dig a bigger hole. Hey.
Hey, buddy.
China is closing all of their movie theaters again. You know, because coronavirus and all. They thought that they could get things going and kickstart the economy and get movies back up and running. And a little too soon. So yep. They opened 4.5% of all movie theaters in China. Just over 500 reopened for less than 24 hours. And then they closed it back down. So... Yep. Yeah,
can't be too safe, man. That's you know, you can't mess around. You're finally starting to contain it. You don't want it to have another like kind of re-outbreak.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, and so it's a smart move. It's a really smart move. The thing that kind of makes me sad is here in America, it just seems like we're not gonna get movies probably until June. Probably, if I had to take a guess, June, July. Mm-hmm. Which is really going to mess up the summer blockbuster schedule. And it makes me wonder, either A, does that make the fall time or winter time? Is it going to be jam-packed with summer films? Or, because they know that how much money summer brings in, are they going to just delay it F9 and then wait until 2021 in summer? But that, oh my God, that would mean a new movie every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
People will do it. I mean, if the movies are good enough.
Well, people will do it, but that means that you don't have that 2 weeks of build. And so ultimately you could end up hurting your franchise by releasing it next year if everything is just back to back to back to back. Usually yeah, people respect true. The big time movies and go, okay, we're not going to release on the same date as a Star Wars film, and we're not going to release the weekend after because that's just a death sentence. So 2 weeks out, and we'll release our movie then, you know, and that's generally how it goes for all these big franchises, is like you get a little bit of a buffer because you know that you're just going to get eaten alive in the first 2 weeks. So how does that cannibalize the film industry if you're back to back to back to back? You know what I'm saying?
We'll probably see some more holiday movies, mm-hmm. some more that wouldn't have been holiday movies. I'm sure the studios will space them out in the way. And again, our summer blockbusters, you know, they've been starting in April anyways, so it'll be like... Yeah,
old school. All right,
this movie that was supposed to come out in August is now coming out next April instead. It's going to be the beginning of our summer blockbusters.
You know, it could also be that our summer blockbusters just now get pushed into October. You know, September, October will take the place of April, May.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see. And then, of course, people will be skittish to go back to the theater once they reopen.
Oh, yeah. So I'm saying, like, we got to, like, we talked about, I guess, in the pre-show, maybe. I don't remember where we talked about this. But just like, yeah, but right now, the country itself is not taking enough actions to make sure that we're safe, like, everyone's safe within the next month. I mean, they're saying, like, you know, oh, Easter weekend, and then they're saying April 30th. It's going to be, like, May or June before things start to go back to normal because of the fact that, yeah, like, you might see, you know, the curve start to flatten and stuff, but all it takes is one person going to a movie theater or some public event to cause another outbreak and just start this shit all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And even like international traveling and stuff the same way, where it's like, yeah, all you need is one person 6 months from now going to, you know, somewhere overseas or a cruise or something and possibly infecting someone, you know, in another country and then having another massive fucking outbreak somewhere else. So like this whole like, oh, we're gonna be, oh, it's gonna be fine in 2 weeks. No, like this mm-hmm. is gonna take a long time, pretty much until they come up with some sort of cure,
the vaccine,
some sort of like, yeah, some sort of vaccine or whatever. Is that like this is gonna? I mean, to kind of shift gears a little bit, to kind of get onto the anti-vaxxers and stuff. I don't know if there's ever been in like in a long time more proof of this is why you fucking vaccinate people. we haven't had a global pandemic like this in 100 years. Yeah, because fucking modern medicine, man. Like, we've been able to get these things out to stop this stuff. That's why when you have that one kid that's like, oh, they still got the measles, because now 30 fucking people at their school have it too. It's because all you assholes not vaccinating your kids. So I hope to Christ, when a vaccine is created for this, that even those idiots vaccinate their fucking kids.
Please, yes.
Because your kid could start another fucking global pandemic. Like, goddamn.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like, it'll be interesting to see. Chud Fu also asked in the chat the same thing that I brought up. I read that after I said it. I was like, oh, he's on the same page. and then Salzador, I said that correctly, right?
Sarzador.
Sal.
The R
is silent.
That would still be Salzador and not Salzador.
No, the S before the R but after the E. Figure it out. He says maybe summer blockbusters are going to move to streaming services. That is the case for the earlier films that aren't the summer blockbusters, but you would have to, like, the paycheck would have to be so fucking huge. It would have to be $1 billion.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what these movies are making globally now, is over a billion. So it there's no way that, at least I don't see it happening, for like Netflix to front the bill for that just to get people to watch it on their streaming service. Although, how many users would it be to make $1 billion? You know, like, if the next Marvel film came out on a Netflix exclusive, not that it would, because it would go to Disney Plus, but just as a dumb example. At $14.99 a month, how many users is that? Somebody do the math. 1 billion divided by $14.99. Go.
A lot.
Like 100 million.
That's not
that's our answers. Final answer.
Can we phone a friend? So I mean, you know, 50-50. Can a blockbuster movie generate that many users? New users or returning? That's the question.
Well, and then you also have to think, like, you know, like right now a lot of stuff's going to Amazon Cinema, whatever the fuck they're calling it now. Like, you know, when again they're charging close to double the price of a ticket for most people. I would say most people are probably still paying, if you're going to, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends. Some movies are like $12, but some are still $7. There's still theaters where you can see stuff for $7 to $8. Mm-hmm. So they're charging $20, right? So yeah, I mean, I'm so curious what those numbers are. Like, what did Upward make on Prime the first Friday it was released on Prime? Like, how much did it make for those 48-hour rentals?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how much of a loss they took or gained. Because you think about it, we talked about that last week, where it's $20 for the entire family and or people that you would invite over to watch in the neighborhood, where you put up a giant screen and everyone sat 6 feet apart, and versus, you know, what, $12-$13 a person now. So
yeah,
worth it.
Yep. Okay. So on the next story, YouTube has said, and Netflix as well, YouTube and Netflix are limiting their streams overseas in the UK. And it looks like Netflix will probably follow suit here in the U.S. as well. YouTube is going to, I think 480p is what they're going to make their default in order to put less strain on the networks, especially over in the U.K. And so they just announced that. And then Netflix has suspended their phone customer support, which is a surprise to me because I didn't know they had any.
Yeah,
so five people got laid off, as well, one for each day.
I just wonder if they're just like, we can't, there's too many calls now, too many people at home watching Netflix, like, we can't, nope, online only, sorry, we can't do phone service.
And they just put the AI in charge of the chat, just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go.
Also wonder if maybe they're in, I mean, I don't know where their call centers are based, but based on how most of these large companies base their call centers in other countries, I wonder if maybe that was it too, where it's like, well, our office in Dubai is closed because there's a fucking outbreak. So no, we're not going to expect these people in another country to work, man a phone line in a call center. So fuck it.
Amazon has also put restrictions on their products, which is interesting. We were talking in chat yesterday because, Doug, you ordered some new headphones.
I'm wearing them right now.
And they came in 2 days.
Yep.
And so, you know, they're delaying shipments that are non-essential items like movies and other electronics and things like that. You know, I tried to order some things on there the other day and it was like, April. And I was like, oh, damn, that is a delay. But you got your headphones in a couple days. And
a day faster than when I thought I was going to get them.
Yeah. And
I also got stuff delivered today that I ordered yesterday that wasn't supposed to be here until Tuesday. It came today.
So who knows what's essential and what's not essential? Does it list it on the site?
No, it'll tell you. When you go to shipping, it'll say like, hey, this is, realize you may not, this you won't get this until April 19th due to this not being a non-essential item. Didn't have that for my headphones. And I bought some stuff for the kitchen. So like we had one of our old colander, like got bent. And so I need a new one. And so I've been putting it off and finally, you know, I was on Amazon and I looked at my wish list and I had some. So I went and added those and it was like, you know, again, April 19th. And I was like, fuck that. And it was like, people bought this, also looked at this or whatever. And I was like, oh, look, that's a set of colanders for the same amount of same price. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it'll be here Tuesday. And again, it showed up today. So
yeah, some the chat.
I don't know why one colander was April 19th and another one was next day essentially. I don't know how they determine.
It's mixed in the chat as well, you know. But yeah, it's maybe the headphones were already in the warehouse and they were just like fuck it and threw it on the belt. I don't know. Yeah. It's strange because I guess it would have to do with also Amazon if they're receiving items that are non-essential in their warehouses. I think they suspended that as well to where they're not receiving any new electronics or anything like that, or you know, fucking beds. I don't know what the hell you could buy. There's a lot. So it's interesting. They've also had issues with their delivery service. Like that's backlogged as far as like food goes. So in places like Instacart and all that, well, Instacart went on strike today, so that puts a fucking damper on things that you need as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all these services are definitely getting a huge beta test now. They're like,
yep.
All right, how much bandwidth can we suck through here?
But, yeah, man.
Some movie news. Netflix has agreed to make Dragon's Lair. Do you guys ever play that?
Yeah.
Who hasn't?
In the arcade? Well, I mean, because Kevin just went, wait, what?
So because I'm thinking, I'm like, wait, why are they making a movie based off a game that came out like almost 40 years ago?
For the same reason why they made a book, made a movie based on a book that came out over 40 years ago called The Lord of the Rings.
Same reason why they made a movie based on a book that came out 2,000 years called what was that Mel Gibson movie called?
Passion of the Christ.
The Passion of the Christ.
Lethal Weapon 3.
I was like, The Last Temptation of Christ. That's not it.
Oh. The Last Temptation. Oh, that would have been awesome.
So I hope that answers your question.
This one in particular, I mean, it's Dragon's Lair.
It'd be cool, man. Plus, Ryan Reynolds is set to star and produce it. He's getting in some video game stuff, man. He must have came off of the guy and just been like, you know what? I need more video game movies. And looked into this. I mean, I think it's a cool concept, right? It'd be neat to see.
As long as we get to see him die multiple times and they get to do that, like, you know, because that was the best part about watching Dragon's Lair, seeing the different video cutscenes that goes on, all animated by Don Bluth.
I hope that this is going to be one of those choose your own adventure movies. You know, like you get to on screen, it'll just be like, are you going to go left or right? And Ryan Reynolds has to record four different endings, four different actions for each.
That's what I'm wondering. Like it's Netflix. Netflix is already, you know, like we're saying, Bandersnatch. They've tested this. This is it's just going to be a live action version of this. I'm down.
Mm-hmm.
Left, right, up. down, attack, block.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
By the way, I knew The Last Temptation of Christ was a real movie. And I was like, is that the one with Willem Dafoe? It is. It's the one with Willem Dafoe. It's a Martin Scorsese film.
Oh. I've never watched that
one. The Last Temptation of Christ. Willem Dafoe, Harvey Keitel, Paul Greco, Irving Kirshner, surprisingly, actually as an acting role and not a director. But yeah, it's a 1988. I didn't know it was Scorsese. Which is surprising. But what's his face? Willem Dafoe plays Jesus.
Jesus.
So.
Wow, that's crazy. He played Jesus in that, and then he was in a movie called Antichrist.
Yeah, where he smashed his dick with a
stick. I'm sorry, he did what?
Yeah, you don't want to watch Antichrist unless you want to see Willem Dafoe go full dong.
No.
Full dong and like
smashing
his dick and bloody.
It's real fucked up. Yeah, it's a fucked up
movie.
Okay, yeah. So did he pull a Mark Wahlberg in Boogie Nights, or did he actually like? Did he have a?
I didn't ask him.
Did he have a dick double that like he smashed?
He smashed someone else's dick.
Yeah, like they were like, all right, we need the stand-in.
Stunt cock.
Yeah, so it's a stunt cock, but it's gonna be Willem Dafoe's hands.
Right. So like he had to stand behind the dude like Ghost.
This goes back to The Passion of the Christ, and he was inspired by Mel Gibson nailing Jesus' hands into the cross, and Willem Dafoe was like, I'm going to bash that stunt dick.
Huh.
My hands.
How did we get here?
All about books based on our movies based on books.
You asked.
Wow.
Kev,
Dragon's Lair to Antichrist.
This is all your fault. This is all your fault. You posed the question.
This is a fucking choose your own adventure that went wrong. Someone just kept hitting left.
Willem Dafoe did.
Yeah. Ugh.
All right, so let's get into some gaming news where GameStop takes top spot. Not only in the news, but as the shittiest company during the coronavirus. Well, one of them. Okay.
Next to Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, next to Hobby Lobby. GameStop is set to close 300 stores this year. It's going to be 320 stores. And, you know, that's that. How many stores do they have? About 40,000?
When I worked there in 2013, they were at 5,000 stores.
Okay, so this is kind of like a drop in the bucket.
I wouldn't say a drop in the bucket. I would picture, and like I said, I'm thinking in like a fiscal way. A lot of these were in probably like abandoned malls. Cause you know, you go into malls, there's only like two places in a whole mall that are still open. It is usually a GameStop and the other is a Bath and Body Works. And so there's a lot of malls across America.
Don't you
like that.
Fucking talk bad about my Bath and Body Works.
But you notice that in like these like abandoned malls, those are like the two most common places.
Cause you need your lotion and you need your games.
Yeah, so I figured GameStop was finally getting wise to that, and they're like, fuck it, just give up. You know, we're not gonna have any business. The malls are not coming back, and they probably closed a bunch of mall locations.
I don't know.
Or just
man.
Like failing strip malls or high rent areas that they're not.
What about malls? So malls up near you aren't popular? Because down in Texas, people be in those fucking malls. It's popping here.
There's one mall in a rich county here that is pretty popular, but other than that, like other malls have closed since I've moved here.
Huh.
Like one mall looked like it was from the 90s that just never even updated the carpet. They had games like in the halls that looked like they had like a what was that, as seen on TV stores in there. Mm-hmm. So you know that's the failings of a mall.
Huh. Yeah, even the oldest even the oldest mall in like Fort Worth, which is the Hewlin, is still like pretty popular. Like I've you know, when it's hot out, maybe it's just the heat. Like in Texas, it gets so hot, people are looking for stuff to do, and they're just like, just go to the mall and walk around in the cool air conditioning and buy some shit. Because
while walking.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Doof Dude. Not Independence Center. That's one of them, but I'm thinking Oak Park Mall. But yeah, it's just, it's dying. Like it sucks. It sucks to see that happen too. Because I mean, at least I would say my generation grew up in the mall of sorts. You know, there was
we did.
Yeah, I mean, because that was the place to go because we didn't have the internet yet. So we went to the mall and just fucking tried to find something to do there.
So this was my routine, okay? You walk to the mall. You enter Borders, and you check out the magazine rack. See what see what's popping there. Sit down, read your favorite magazine, gaming magazine, or whatever. And then you walk over to the little section that they had for collectibles and stuff, and you check that out. You're like, all right, that's pretty cool. All right. Then you move on over to, you go to Aladdin's Castle. I don't know if you had an Aladdin's Castle, Kev.
We did. It
sounds like a strip joint.
No, it was a video game place. It was like a Chuck E. Cheese kind of place.
It
like
was a not arcade. A Chuck E. Cheese.
Wasn't it? But
no, it was it was a full blown like arcade.
It was an arcade with like the ticketing, like the ticket games too, though, the redemption game.
Oh, I don't, I was, by the time I was playing in that, I don't remember that. I just played, that's where I discovered Mortal Kombat, and I played all three of them there. And, nice. You know, I chose Mortal Kombat over Street Fighter because I was like, no, this is a bloody good time. That's where I discovered X-Men and Simpsons, and that's, oh, my jam. NBA jam.
Yeah.
It was, Aladdin's Castle will always hold a special place in my heart. Then.
Yeah.
You walk around, get the food samples for free that they had there.
Free samples
in the food court. And only a couple places had it back then. Nowadays, it's everywhere. But then you go right into GameStop, and you look around, and the guy's like...
Which was
like,
Funko Land back in the 90s.
Oh, mine was EB Games.
Oh, yeah. I remember EB. Yeah, before they were two companies.
Yeah.
Man, I remember Funko Land. Jesus Christ. Holy shit.
They had their newspaper, their monthly newspaper with all the game listings in there, and they would tell you the pricing in there, so that way you could do your pricing at home, so you could bring in your stack of Nintendo games and trade them in.
That is a thing I haven't even thought about in years.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
I've never heard of that. Wow.
We used to walk a mile and a half to go to GameStop or to Funko Land to play their games because they would let you test the games. Mm-hmm. And we would just walk there like six deep as kids and go there and want to play every like Super Nintendo game until they get angry and kick us out.
Yeah.
And then we'd walk a mile and a half back home.
Oh, man. I wish I knew the electronics store that that was in our mall. The Wiz. I think it was the Wiz, if I'm not mistaken.
No?
Yeah, it was. It was the Wiz. We had the Wiz in the basement of our mall, and that used to have all the listening centers for all the music, so that would be a place that I would hit up and just listen to all the music before it, you know. So, yeah, that was life at the mall, and then just walking around and bullshitting. And then you get to know people in the food court, at least I did, and so I got free food sometimes.
Nice. Look at you.
It was the best. I also worked there. That was my first real job, was at the mall. I worked at the movie theater.
Oh, I thought you were going to say hot dog on a stick.
I wish. We didn't have one of those. My first introduction to that was actually here in Texas.
Wow.
Yeah. When they had one at Hewlin Mall, Doug.
I think it's still there, bud.
Is it?
I don't know. If it's not, that's a surprise to me. I haven't been there in 15 years.
And so, my only mall job ever was just whenever I worked at a rogue GameStop when they needed more help. So that was my only mall experiences. And they were weird, man. There was a dude that used to walk around this mall in the suburb of Chicago that he was like an old nerdy looking dude. And he would just say, "I'm single, ladies." And then on the back of his shirt had his phone number. It was great.
I mean, it's
and
smart.
He'd walk up and down the mall, dude.
Respect.
Yeah, I wonder how many numbers he's pulled in. I mean, at least prank calls. He's got to get pranked. But the
prank
dude
for
did
sure.
It. Yeah, but he did it like proudly. Like I worked multiple shifts, and he was there like at least like two of the three shifts, you know, that I remember.
And there's always the regulars. You'd always see the regulars.
Yeah.
All right. Next story. We have a hacker has broken into a building virtually and stolen the plans to the Death Star. I mean, to the Xbox Series X graphics source code. So I guess AMD is like not concerned about this. So the hacker is asking for like $1 million. I'm sorry, she wants $100 million for the source code. And
you threatened... gotta do the pinky to the mouth when you say that.
$1 million. And so she says that I'm gonna leak everything if there's no buyer, and AMD said we don't care, like it's not the actual source code, it's not important, you can't do anything with it. So, and it's not important to the core of the competitiveness of the security. So, whatever. Yeah. But they're still going to press charges.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, why not? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to pay you shit. We're definitely going to.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for letting us know about that. We'll plug that up and we'll put you in jail.
Exactly.
So.
Mm-hmm. Or give him a job.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah. Dude, you want $100 million? Okay.
Work that's for your, us or go to
that's
jail.
That's your signing bonus. Yeah. You either work for us or you're going to jail.
No. You want to? It's like that. It's like that skit on Key and Peele where they're like, "All right, listen, we're gonna rob this bank, and we're gonna do it from the inside." Do you remember that shit where he's like, "Listen, here's the plan: we get jobs as bank tellers, and then they're gonna pay us to be there. We're robbing them blind, and over time."
Yeah.
Epic is now a publisher.
Sorry?
Uh-huh. So, you know, Epic has been going on and they've done a lot for gaming. They've opened up their new store where people can sell on it and they have a pretty good split. And now they are turning themselves into a game publisher. And they'll be publishing, and they've self-proclaimed it's going to be the most friendly developer terms in the industry. And what they're going to do is it's a 50% split after Epic has recouped cost. And so according to Epic, it will be covering 100% of the development costs, including salaries, QA, wow, localization, marketing. And the developers don't have to give up ownership of their game, so they keep creative control. And the only thing is that it's a 50% split after the recoup cost. So this is a huge win for the industry, as far as if you're looking to publish a game and you need some money, and you actually got a good idea, you know, Epic might be the way to go for you. They already have three developers that they're working with and some pretty big ones. They signed Remedy. They're going to be publishing one of their games, Play Dead, good, and then Gen Design. So, I mean, that's huge. That's huge news to shake up the industry. And I know that a lot of people shit on Epic because they released a store that didn't have a lot of features. And You can argue about Epic with some of their decisions that they've done in the games, but Tim Sweeney has really flipped the fucking narrative of what the gaming industry should be and how these developers should be treated. Everything from how much they're paying developers for, you know, how much they're taking on the store, the support that they're giving them, and then now the developing deal, also how he's went against the whole loot box thing and said, listen, they purchased the studio behind Rocket League, and Rocket League was a loot box game, and they completely changed it. And they just said, listen, you just buy what you want. If you want this skin, buy it. If you want this and that, just buy it. They, yeah, we're going to have this cosmetic stuff, but fuck the loot boxes. I really respect the shit that he's doing and what their company is aiming towards and where they're trying to go with it. I really do.
Agreed.
So, I don't know what you guys think of it, but that's me.
No, I'm for it. I mean, like, I like Epic and the games they've got. I mean, the fact that they're giving away games like every week is still insane. And like, not just like
good games too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's amazing, and I think they're doing the right things, especially publisher friendly. I mean, as we've heard from multiple publishers, I mean, it's a good move for them, and it's hopefully opening the door for future developers. Or inspiring future developers.
Chad Fu says, I think Jer's in their pocket. He's got a game idea he's been keeping from us.
No, he's got more than one.
I got a whole journal. You know, it's a composition notebook. I did have a real leather one, but.
It was judgy.
It was very judgy.
No, that's the best you can come up with, fat man. Get out of bed before noon, you piece of shit. Wow. God, your handwriting's chicken scratch, you fucking lazy bitch. God, why?
That's
you
the name.
To support you, go get a composition notebook, you lazy sack of turds.
Damn.
Mo says, but loot boxes are my favorite feature.
Yeah. That's on brand.
Yep. Oh, man. So, yeah, it's definitely.
Well, boy, do we have a loot box for you for only $99.99. You'll get a a surprise background from the 8-Bit Geek.
Listen, for $599, I'm going to show up at your doorstep and we'll hang out for the day.
Coronavirus pending.
Also, travel fees are not included.
Yeah, which you'll have to pay those as well.
Yeah. Sarzador is right, though. He says all that Fortnite money. Seriously, I don't think that this deal happens. I don't think anything happens like this if Fortnite never took off.
Yeah, agreed.
So, I mean, that Fortnite, say what you want, man, but it's built an empire for them.
Yeah.
So... here's another cool thing. If you're into gaming and you actually want to make games, Unity is offering their premium game development tutorials for free until
Unity.
June. Yeah, until June 20th.
Love it.
Until June 20th, you can get your hands on the courses from everything from coding to design. And I don't know. It's. I would love to do this. But I hear that Unity is not very fun to develop with. Like, I guess Epic is a lot easier to use and more people use it. But Unity is still like a hugely popular platform. So I don't know.
They did The Mandalorian. And no, that was not Unity. What did they do with Mandalorian?
The Mandalorian is Epic.
Unreal. I thought.
Was it Unreal? Yeah,
yeah, which is Unreal. Epic. Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's there's a Cuphead was made on Unity. Hollow Knight. There's been a ton of games that are made with it. Yeah, I mean there's two huge choices. Either A, you're going with Unreal or you're going with Unity. So
yeah.
CD Projekt Red has donated almost $1 million to help combat the coronavirus. So that's awesome, raising funds for medical equipment. So go Project Red. That's a company I could just always get behind. I love them. They're wonderful.
Man, I know. I hope we don't live long enough to see them fail, because like, you know, we've said that about BioWare 10 years ago.
It'll happen.
And like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many companies that were like, or Blizzard. We're like, oh, Blizzard could do no wrong. And then 2018 happened.
You know? Well, you got a cell phone, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Or, you know, like, it's just,
no, I know.
Oh man, CD Projekt Red is doing so well, and they're like the baby face, like the just, yeah, the sweethearts of the industry right now, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I really hope that doesn't change at all.
Listen, it's like my boy Harvey Dent always said, you know, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. It's that simple. He texts me regularly.
His mood shifts, though, crazy.
Oh, it's insane. He's one minute, he's all like, hey, man, what's going on? The next minute, he's like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
It's like a voice message left. Three missed
calls. Like, hey, Jared, just wanted to see what you're doing, because I'm really thinking about slitting your throat later. Just want to make, you know, see if maybe we want to get some lunch, you know, go to Chipotle, you know, catch up. We haven't seen each other in a while. And then I'm going to stab you in the back.
It's like
all right, love you, bud. Right, yeah.
It's like a flip of a coin, you know? You just never know what you're going to get with them. Sony says that you can expect slower download speeds in the U.S. Guys, I don't know how
slower
much slower.
We are?
Yeah, I don't know how much slower we can get with you guys.
God, what? It's a hamster on a wheel.
6K.
Right? Get an MP3 downloaded faster.
I swear to God, I can download boobs faster in the 90s on my 56K than I can with a goddamn game in 2020 on Sony's servers.
So that means every time Call of Duty has one of their 89 gig updates,
14 days later, you can have
it. We'll see you in a month.
Fuck. That's the biggest thing. Like, as much as I love Sony's games that they've put out, their first party, their infrastructure sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because they were late to get. They were late to the game with the whole, like, Xbox Live. You know, they were late to game with PlayStation Plus being mandatory. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have enough time to really build up their servers like Xbox did.
But hey, now they've made a partnership with Microsoft. I think we talked about that a few months ago. Now they're going to use Microsoft servers for their online services.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing that, but it's still going to be slow.
It's going to make them both slow. Drag them down.
Guys, I've got some great news.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Switch is getting more Star Wars action. So is the PS4. So is the PS4. But what's more important is the Switch. Because no one wants to play these old-ass games on the PS4 because it just doesn't look good on your giant TV. But on this small Switch screen, yeah, it looked great. It looked wonderful. So we're getting Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, which is the pod racing. This is pod racing. Mm-hmm. And that's a fantastic, fun game. I'm sure it'll be $19.99. And then also, we're getting Jedi Academy, which is out now. I think it's out now, right? Oh, I got the hiccups.
Yeah, because we were talking about that story about how they accidentally had crossplay on, and people that were playing on the PlayStation and stuff were getting absolutely slaughtered going against people who've been playing on PC for the last 40 fucking years.
Yeah. For real.
That's awesome.
Oh, I wish I could have seen it. I hope there's a YouTube video that comes out, because it's just like, hey guys, just come in.
I'm like, what the hell, man? You cheater. There's no way you're that good this fast. This game just came out.
Yeah.
Did I tell you guys about the custom map that I had that we had built for my clan?
You've talked about your Star Wars clan, yes.
Did I talk about the map, though? But... Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You could still find it. So I had a clan that my online community started long ago in Star Wars Jedi Knight. And then we moved on to Jedi Academy. Well, in Jedi Academy, we had a whole system set up where, you know, you came in as a Padawan, you had to go through the trials in order to become a Jedi, and then in order to become like a mod, you had to progress through the master rankings. We had like community tournaments, we had battles with other clans. We had a forum that was just popping. It was awesome. And then we had somebody who made maps and stuff for the, you know, game community. And he was like, I want to build you guys your own map. And I can find the link for you. It's still up. It's so crazy. They put our logo in the center of the room. And when you first load in and everything, and it was called the Force Council. That was our clan name, FC. And I'm just real proud of it. And anytime that a story like this comes up, I mean, why not throw that out there? It was good. We used to have these, we had a bottomless pit, and we had all these tiny poles that you had to jump on and fight on. And that was one of the tests of being a Jedi.
It is currently $19.99 on the Switch.
Oh, that's nice. Okay,
I'm just letting people know, so if they want to go.
No, that's cool.
Join your clan.
It's not. I mean, it's not there anymore.
Well, whose fault is that?
definitely mine. We decided to break it up after the game was older, and we wanted to move on. We actually moved on. Oh, funny story. It was actually we moved on from that game to Star Wars Galaxies, and then that's where things fell apart.
Yeah. Fell apart for a lot of people.
Yeah. So we spent like 6 months to a year in that game, and we were like, all right, so I worked so hard in that game. I actually got the Stormtrooper armor, which took forever to get. And I worked and I worked and I got it. And then I had it and I went, so this is cool, I guess.
Where'd everybody go?
Where's everyone? I'm the only one left on the server. And then finally, we have another remaster coming. to the Switch, which is Burnout Paradise.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I have that for Xbox. It's so good.
Are you going to pick it up again?
I don't know. I have to see if they have like 60 frames.
Probably.
And this is actually the game will play at full 60 frames per second on Switch. So that'd be awesome. And I'd have to see the price if it's like, man,
it's EA. So it'll be $49.99.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'll wait till it goes on sale. I'm sure
it'll be like 19 or 29,
but it's a great game to just jump in, jump out, complete a race, jump out. There's so many great cars in it, especially with all the DLC that's added, the Big Surf Island, the motorcycles, but also like they have like this, the like special car section where they have like the Ecto-Mobile from Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah.
Knight Rider from, Kit from Knight Rider.
Back to the Future.
Yeah. They have the DeLorean. They have stuff like that. I mean, they don't name them. That's like Grand Theft Auto style where they kind of like off name them, but it's
rad. You can time travel.
Yeah, what?
You can time travel with a DeLorean.
Can you in that game?
Yeah. I mean, you just jump ahead like just a few feet, I believe, if I remember correctly. But
yeah, it's rad. I like it a lot. And they have stunt races. I mean, it's Burnout, so you get to like the crashes are just beautiful.
Yeah.
I give it the Doug's chef kiss.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. The crashing's the best. I mean, that's the whole point of the game, really. It's like, oh, there's racing. No, 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 no. It's crashing.
Yeah.
It's fun. And it makes me want to play. There's that other game like on Steam that is a like crash 'em up game. And I forget what it's called, but I've seen
Wreckfest. Mo got it. Wreckfest. I have it.
It looks so fun. I've watched videos of just like compilations of crashes in there because it's supposed to be more realistic crashes.
Oh, it's
like
it's so good.
Yeah. And so, your car actually wrecks the way it actually would wreck.
And so many pieces come apart. It's really, really great. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll see like, it's like, oh, that's just down to the axle, huh? Mm-hmm. Like you'll see the car just get stripped away.
Yep.
Which I enjoy.
And they've done a lot of work since it was like a alpha when it came out, and what do they call it? The free access or the pre-access?
Pre-release?
Yeah, no.
Early access.
Thank you. One word away. Yeah, they did the early access. I purchased it, and so it's crazy. Yeah. Chutfu says it's the sniper elite of car crashes.
That explains why I like it.
You get to watch the car's nuts get crushed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whoa, look at the X-ray vision of those truck nuts exploding.
You know what? There was huge news that I forgot to put in the show notes, which is the Mario news. It came out.
Yeah,
it was breaking news today. It came out today that at E3, Nintendo was set to reveal their plans for the 35th anniversary of Mario, which is... we're going to get remasters of Mario Sunshine, Galaxy, possibly Galaxy 2. They're going to do a re-release of Mario 3D Land. We're supposed to get a brand new Paper Mario game.
Yes!
And everyone's hoping that it's more like the first one and not the sticker bullshit. And then we're also supposed to get another couple new Mario games. Here's what I want. I would like to have Mario Strikers. That'd be really cool. And then the Mario, what was it? It was the golf, Mario Golf. I want those two games.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
I lost you on those.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, I like those.
I forgot that they haven't had a Strikers game since... When was the last Strikers game? Wii U?
I don't know. Mario Strikers. Let's see. That came out on... That was in 2007?
I would like to see Mario RPG come to the Super Nintendo Virtual Console. I think that would be rad.
Yeah.
The six coins or whatever.
Or a whole new Mario RPG, for the Switch. That'd be cool. Mario RPG for the Switch, like that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Let me get Reggie. No, wait, no, Reggie. Let me get Bowser on the phone.
Wasn't Paper Mario kind of RPG-ish as well?
Yeah, it was more of a, some of them were action RPGs.
Yeah, it was like an action RPG compared to the tactical approach, right?
Yeah, not tactical. It was more just turn-based.
Turn-based, that's it, yeah.
All right. Tactics, the one with the grids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see, and that's it. That's the news. I'm really excited about the Mario stuff. I really am hopeful. And Mario 64. They're remastering that as well for the Switch.
Mm-hmm. That'll be rad. I love that game. Who doesn't really?
I love that game. I never beat it.
Oh really?
Yeah, because I didn't own a GameCube, so I only played it at my friend's house, and so I just played through the same fucking levels. You know.
I mean, how'd you play it on GameCube though? It came out for N64.
I mean N64, sorry. I didn't have an N64. My buddy did. He also got the cool memory expansion for the little memory extension slot on the thing. Gave it a little boost. So, you remember that?
No.
Yeah, there's a memory, the N64. N64 memory.
Oh, the expansion pack?
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing went in the front of it where you got to play, like, what was it, Perfect Dark? You got, like, most of the features locked unless you had that. And then, like, the Star Wars game, yeah.
No, it added, it increased your, no, it was a RAM kit. Increased the RAM from 4 megabytes to 8.
Yeah, they called it, but they called it an expansion pack.
It's fair. I mean, yeah.
It was mandatory for, like, Zelda's Majora's Mask, I believe.
No, you're spot on with that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah, Perfect Dark was the bomb back in the day.
Well, you can pick one up for $37 now on eBay.
For why, though?
If you need it.
They were hard to find when they first came out. I remember that. I had to stock a Best Buy to find one.
Yeah, I wasn't on the Nintendo train, unfortunately, after the NES. I jumped. I was a Sega boy.
Nice. Yeah, I was a Sega boy up until Dreamcast, and then after that I went to N64.
I didn't go N64. I went Dreamcast straight to Xbox.
Nice. So, well, there we go. You learned something about us today, chat. Audience.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. Doug looks like he's ready to play a game. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. For an audio platform, your nodding helped.
Yeah. Yeah, there's people in the chat. They got to see it.
They got to see.
All right, get your questions ready because we'll do a short little Q&A after we get out of here. So we're gonna A you with your cues. Until then, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.